to A Nightmare on Fear Street.
We're Trent and Sheree, and we're chatting about the fiercest genre.
Expect hot takes, cold drinks, and a couple of fights.
Check out the link in the episode description to connect with us via the usual socials, Patreon, and our YouTube channel. All right, everyone, we are back, and we are covering everyone's favorite Halloween movie for some reason, Trick or Treat. And today we are joined by Arinthia Carter. Welcome, Arinthia.
Yay! I'm so excited.
Thank you for being here for this very special month where we're doing 2000 and aught, and we're doing movies from that era. And we just have to, before we even get into the introductions, we have to acknowledge that you, I'm like, again, 99.9% sure you're the first Emmy nominee we've had on this show. I'm putting that on our resume. I'm putting it on our pitch deck. I'm getting merch.
I'm glad to plant my flag on this this glamorous horror moon. Does that make sense? I don't know. Yes.
it's giving big follow this bitches. Cher, that one tour, I keep forgetting the name because she's done so many farewell tours, I can't keep them straight anymore. Yeah, well, you know the one with the red jacket. That one.
Exactly. Yeah. You know the one. Yeah, that one.
You know the one. They all kind of blend together. And I heard she's going on tour again. So here we go.
She's always there, in yeah. Farewell somewhere. And I love that for all of us.
Yeah. I hope that I'm that way when I'm in my 70s. Like, I know you guys are going to still pay for me to sing something at you. So why not?
Why not?
She could come on stage and read a phone book. And I'd be like, yes, queen, yes. And so yeah. Like, she knows. She knows.
She's got young boyfriends to support, you know.
Boom.
Thank y'all. I want this Cher special. When, if I make it to that age, I think we should all just get that. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's one of my favorite Cher quotes is, men are like desserts. You don't need them, but they're always nice to have around.
Just in case you have a taste for it. You yeah. Know?
You know. All right. But before we get into Trick or Treat, we have to get to know Arinthia a little bit better because this is their first time on the pod. So number one, we start here with everyone. I know it's a tough one, so put your thinking cap on. What is your favorite scary movie?
Okay. So I've been thinking about this all day, and I think my favorite, my official favorite is Scream, the yes. first Scream.
I'm yes. in agreement yeah. there. We're in the fan club together.
There's yeah. no right answer, but that's the right answer.
And I, you know, and I was like, I kind of came at of age of like the early aughts horror movies, like Scream and Urban Legend. Mm. And I know you did last summer. And so that was the only, that's the only one that has like continued to stand out for me.
Yeah, so good. So good. So good. All right. Well, you kind of hinted at this, but go in more detail. What is your horror origin story? What got you interested in The Dark and the Wicked, which is a whole other movie that we've already talked about?
A creepy movie.
Yeah. So I spent most of my life completely terrified of horror movies. And the reason for that is when I was 6 years old, my parents were visiting a friend and I accidentally saw like 5 minutes of Children of the Corn. But it was like the 5 minutes that you really shouldn't see as a six-year-old. And so that has been in my head for like most of my life until I recently watched it. And it was like, this is the most boring movie I've ever seen. When do we get to the killing? Why is 30 minutes just driving to Nebraska? Like,
you know, that so is that terrifying. Is
you know? And you know, I you know, I was 5 when the Thriller video came out, and I'm 45 years old, and I still cannot listen to Thriller by myself. It still creeps me the hell out. And so yeah, it's just me being a general weirdo.
I support that. I support yeah. those choices. Yeah. So take a second, plug any socials that people can follow you on, websites, any projects you have coming up that people can see your work. What you got going on? Let the people know.
Yeah, yeah. You can always follow me on Twitter, whatever Twitter is being called now. which sounds like a porn site to me, but
okay. It looks like one too, the new logo. I'm like, it what does. Am I clicking onto?
You know, it's like, it's giving like Ashley Madison to me. You can find me at Arinthia there, wherever, however you get there. Arinthia on Instagram, and you get to see all of my random musings. And for right now, no real things to plug that aren't covered by NDA. But of course, watch a Black Lady sketch show on HBO while you can. We hope that it'll stay on there forever, and watch it plenty of times so it can.
There you go.
I'm still salty. It was canceled. Everybody else has moved on. Like, people are actually involved have moved on. And I'm like, but what about me? Like, I needed it.
But the emotional moment that we needed, and it's now it's gone, and there's no aftercare. Right. You know, it's just to help us get over it.
They were just like, it's gone because we're making all the bad choices this year. And I was like, well, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I want to talk to a manager. Let me get my good wig on. I will be upset and I will be in the streets.
Awesome. But yeah, that's all I've got.
Awesome. Trentington is frozen. So we're just going to keep it going.
We're gonna such a nice picture of him. He looks so happy.
It took me a second because I was like, he's really thinking about that. And I'm like, I make wig jokes all the time. I don't know why this one is like really sending him into orbit.
Bless him.
Yeah, we're just gonna keep it going. And when he comes back, I'll give us a cute little timestamp because I have to edit this, and that's always fun.
Yeah. And, you know, I meant to say, I watched Talk to Me yesterday. Yes. It was a lot better. It was a lot better and a lot scarier than I expected.
Right? I caught her at Sundance, and I knew nothing about it because I don't want to know stuff. Spoilers are out there. And yeah. So I was like, what's Australia do when they always do something cool? And I was like, one of my favorite new movies. What do you mean?
Yeah. Like, the end literally took my breath away. I was just like... And I had to watch it again. I had to watch the ending again because I was like, did I miss something? Because I've been watching this pretty like this the whole time.
Yeah. I kept forgetting to breathe. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that little boy, I was like, don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. And,
and both times he got the demon hands. I was like, this is not okay. Like, yeah. I love it, but also damn.
What? Yeah, and I'm like, ooh, this is not a movie that works for Black people because we would never have that in our house, first of all.
Could never be me. I would have been like, the hand might save him, but it can't come with me. Like, mm-mm. What y'all do with that is your own business. I'm sorry I said yes. He was your little brother. Where were you? Accountability. No. Accountability. No.
And I couldn't get a sense of like how old the little brother was, because I was like, is he 15 or are they 15? Like, I got the sense that they were like younger, but they were treating him like he was like 6.
Right? Because because different countries let people do things at different ages. Because like when you're in London, like the kids are drinking and you're just like, I don't know if I want to be in this pub. But I would assume that in America, they would have been 16 and he would have been like 12, 13. But that's probably because they could drive. And so I don't know if you can drive at what age in Australia, because I can't go there because of the spiders. Right. Yeah.
And I've been, and I could tell you, I've never seen the big spider, but that doesn't mean that they weren't there.
Right. Between the spiders and the vicious kangaroos, I just know I'm not going to do well there. And so I took it off my map because I wanted to go as a kid. I was like, ooh, Hugh Jackman, yeah. And then I saw enough YouTube videos where the kangaroos are boxing people. I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah. Kangaroos are never meant to be cute. Like, they will kick your ass. And but I thought that was, like, really cool that it's like, I was telling this friend, I was like, yeah, you can always, like, an American Horror Story is always going to have a deer die in some way if they're in the woods. And I was like, switching it up with the kangaroo. I see you, Australia. Okay.
Right? They were like, we know what you want from us.
I thought it was a kangaroo and not like a koala bear or something.
You know? That would have been awkward. That would have been. That would have been sadder because, like, koala bears are cute. I've never seen them box anybody. Whereas kangaroos, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that kangaroo got beef with somebody. And maybe this was, like, a hit and run on purpose.
Like, yeah. Like, they literally will square up at you. Those
videos send me to hell every time. Because there was this one. There was, like, a three-part saga. I don't know if you saw it. But this man, it comes out and he's boxing a kangaroo. I'm like, why are you doing this? And he hops in his Jeep and runs off. And the kangaroo shows up at his house. And it's, like, up against the window, like, come outside. And I'm like, oh, no.
Like, no. Come outside, we're not going to jump you. Come outside.
Yes. This kangaroo's like bucking the wind down. He's like, come outside. And I'm just like, you got to fight the kangaroo and then you drove like less than a block home.
Oh my God. It's like that elephant that trampled that lady.
No.
Did you remember that? It was in India, I think.
Yeah.
The elephant trampled her to death. Then they had the funeral. And the elephant showed up at the funeral and trampled her body again.
Damn! No, that's
not... Like, yeah. How would an elephant know, like, maybe the elephant maybe seen where you live, but how does the elephant know specifically where your funeral is happening?
That's personal. That's like, they've had lifetimes of beef. These are enemies from like 19 generations ago. Yeah. It's on site and they're gonna fight. And that's all I know about that, because that is elephants, wild.
Animals are sick of our shit. They're just gonna start fighting back.
Listen, they're just like, y'all are not what you thought you were. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna wreck your house and your face. And you're welcome. And I'm afraid of them. That's why I can't have any.
Bless.
Yeah. I'm going to assume his Wi-Fi is really donezo, and so we're just going to go ahead and start talking about trick or treat.
Oh, bless. I know how that feels.
He's in Arkansas, and so I don't know why the Wi-Fi there is different, but yeah.
Uh-oh. I'm like, oh, Arkansas, that makes sense. I don't...
Because they don't have internet. Because, like, he's upgraded and everything. I'm telling all of his business. People are listening just like, damn. Oh, but he's in Arkansas. And sometimes the Wi-Fi does things if the wind blows too hard. And so, yeah, I'm assuming they have a storm, and I hope I see him on tonight's second recording. Not. That's what it is. But we're going to talk about Trick or Treat, which is the horror anthology that a lot of people love. Had you seen it? Actually, you had not seen it before, right? Am I wrong?
No, I hadn't seen it, hadn't heard of it. And I didn't know that the whole point of it was that it was an anthology. I went to it completely blind today, this morning.
I saw it for the first time in like October, November, because I was doing one of those watch 100 movies at whatever times. And I'm like, why not? I love to procrastinate. And people kept blowing this up. They're like, it's one of the best anthologies. I'm like, it's fine. It's better than a lot of the more recent ones. But like, I'm a kid of the 90s. So Tales from the Hood is that girl. I've never visited Creepshow, which is not that a lot, but it was also a moment. And so I'm like, I don't know if I would be like, this is one of the best ones. I'm not saying it's one of the worst by any means. I'm just, it's fine. But people are like, it's so great.
Yeah. It's fine. I don't know that I would like base a whole like genre list, off of it, or, you know, I was just like, I couldn't figure out who the audience was for this.
Right?
Like, kids or adults? I don't know.
Listen, because there was some Are You Afraid of the Dark? And then there was some After Midnight on HBO back from the 90s. And I was like, okay.
Was it rated R? I meant to look
that up. It needed to be because there were so many boobs. Like, that's one of the things in one of the stories. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I have noticed woman's face. Does she have a name? Does she have a part of the story? She's just boobs. How do you put on a resume? Just be like, I'm the tits. Again, we have to think about things when we're making these movies.
Yeah. And I had to like turn off my logistical mind after a while, because I was like, okay, that doesn't really work, but okay.
Listen, I've seen this 3 times now. Once last year and twice for this, because I had to rent it. And I'm like, I'm gonna make sure it makes sense in my brain. It still doesn't. But like, I think I kind of get the timeline now, but that's a problem if you have to rewatch it multiple times to be like, I think this is the correct order. And I don't think this is a mess up. I think that this is just this girl with the same situation up top.
Yeah, I feel like it was going backwards. Like everything, it was like backwards and forwards and forwards and backwards again, which was interesting.
Right? Like, I'm not mad at Trent's back. Yay!
Yay!
Now you're...
Sorry, the stupid Wi-Fi. Good.
I told all your business about Arkansas and the Wi-Fi. So whoever edits this, they can be selective, but, like, it's all out there. It's in the streets.
Well, and I did reset the router before I got on here, so I don't fucking know.
I told Arinthia the wind probably blew, and that's what it is.
And when she said Arkansas, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know why it makes sense, but it just did. Yeah.
But it just does, right? We're 51st and everything. Why not wine my service?
I really love this episode. We've talked about Talk to Me. We've given some general thoughts on the movie, but we're just about to get into the order of operations because there is an order, kind of, sort of. So, yeah. I'm going to kick it off with my salty note just to get us centered in this opening. I hate that a Bryan Singer project stuck by us because he's a producer on this shit. Why can't he just go ahead and roast in hell? I'm just going to go ahead and say that and move on. Yeah. Because I'm tired of his stuff popping up in my feed. I'm just tired.
Is he the one that threw the potato at somebody?
I wouldn't be surprised. He did a lot of things that got him canceled. Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking about somebody else. I don't know. I know there was a producer and it had like a big like expose, and one of them was like, I was his intern. He threw a potato at my head or something.
Look, because so many of them are doing so much shit. Like, that could be one of the smaller items. I would have been like, that could be him. It could be Josh Whedon. It could be like 9 other dudes off the top of my head. Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to give them nicknames so we remember, like Mr. Potato Head, yeah. Which I hope really hope it's Josh Whedon if that is who.
Right.
That fits down.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So this opener, this couple is a hot mess. Number one, why the hell is she taking down all of her Halloween decorations the night of? Girl, go to sleep.
You know what I don't do when I'm drunk? Do stuff. I lay it down. I sit it down. I watch TV. I'm not out here taking decorations down. I'm not trying to fight with people's husbands or my own if I have one. I'm trying to enjoy my drinks.
Yeah, like they got home. Like they literally like walked into their yard and she was like, time to take all the Halloween stuff down. It's like, but you just got home. Like you didn't even like, they didn't even open the front door yet. Like she was already working. And I'm like, that's how you know the sex wasn't good.
Right? Right? Because you are both tipsy. You're home. What we found out earlier in the evening. Why are you like, let's do some work? And he's going to go watch porn. And I'm just like, your marriage is over. Like, yeah. Whether or not Sam comes to y'all, your marriage is done.
Like, she does not want you. Like, she, no.
And like, why is there porn labeled something else? That's just an accident waiting to happen. That is someone's neighbor kid coming in your house, putting on this nature documentary, and suddenly it's people fucking. Like, that is what that is.
And they didn't make it clear. Like, I'm going to this movie, and of course I came to this movie completely blind. How am I supposed to know what you mean by put the tape on? Because to me, I'm like, oh, are they making a flick? Right. Or do they have like a standby? You know what I mean? Like you have to like assume that I don't know anything about these people because I don't. And so why would you go upstairs and put on a tape? And why would you start cleaning up right now?
I was just gonna say, if they hadn't mentioned that they were drunk, I would have never thought they were drunk.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Leslie Bibb was not giving drunk, and I know she knows better. She was on Popular. I know she knows better.
She does. What was he dressed as? Like she had like a full on situation that she clearly made.
Right.
And what was he?
And I also need to know if they were at the adult party happening down the street where people were getting it in with everybody else, and that's why she was tired already. Cause maybe her and the hot dog had some fun and she's like, you know what? I'm just going to clean up. I gotta look at my life choices.
Well, I gotta work tomorrow, so my husband's not gonna clean the yard, so I guess I'll do it right now. Like, what? And I clocked her 2000s era tracksuit, which I appreciated.
It looked comfortable as a bitch, and I was mad that I got wrecked. I was like, I'm sad she's gone. I miss her as an actor, but the jumpsuit, like, yeah. I really wish I hadn't gotten bloody. Yeah. I think that her death also was probably the most cartoony. Cause when he finds the body and like the thing is in the face, and I was like, I don't think I was supposed to laugh, but I did laugh a little bit, a lot of it.
Well, I think that was kind of, I don't know. I got that was kind of the idea or the one of the concepts visually is this kind of comic book style with the opening being like the comic book flipping through and that kind of stuff. So I kind of went with it there because this is also the same director that gave us Krampus. And Krampus is nothing if not silly and wacky.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that play between the silly, wacky parts and like the general gory horror.
I definitely get all the creepisms because this is definitely giving, we've done creep show, sorry, because there's creep and then there's creep show. And I need to make sure I'm being very clear. I get all the creep show isms, very different. One is Peach Fuzz, one is Stephen King. And so I get that. I get that, but I wish that the first death had been a little bit more serious because then I'm just like, oh, it's going to be a comedy. And it, I don't know if I was supposed to laugh when I did laugh, but I did laugh a lot during this movie. And so, yeah.
They filmed her death the way that they used to film sex scenes in the 80s and 90s, where it was like a quick cut to like curtains blowing in the wind or something. Like, it was weird. And I thought, like, if your whole like thing is like, we're going to pay attention to Halloween or horror movie rules or Halloween rules, really the guy is the one who should have gotten murdered and not her. Right?
Listen, Michael Myers would have never started with a woman first because he's a gentleman.
No.
So I didn't get it.
He would have murdered the guy, put on the guy's costume, just like in Halloween 1, mm-hmm. and then like the girl would have found him or something. I don't know. But that seemed like out of place for me. And I had to stop thinking logistically at that point.
Right? Because they also cut off all those iconic opportunities. Like that Michael Myers costume you just mentioned, that's iconic. Like last year or the year before, Jazz from Girl That's Scary, because she teaches, that's just she went to school with a sheet on and some glasses over it. And then, and if you've watched John Carpenter's Halloween, you got it. And if you didn't, you need to go do your homework.
But now I'm just imagining if little What's-His-Nuts put on like her robot costume and like walking up the stairs.
Just wobbling.
Like a wobbling killer. Like... I would have lived.
Oh, I would have died.
Crazy.
Another thing about the opening that messes with me is I can't tell if I like how these stories are intertwined because it feels like a 90s soap opera. Like, I didn't get to watch Passions, but I feel like this is what Passions would have felt like.
And I watched Passions as it was happening, and I would say that's pretty close. Yeah. And I would say like Passions was probably scarier than this movie.
Yes. Yes.
This movie is not scary. No. This movie is not scary at all. I will say I actually kind of liked the way they intertwined the stories because it didn't feel like your cookie cutter anthology movie where it's like one movie, little segue. One movie, little segue. It kind of, I liked that because I thought it gave me something refreshing that I hadn't seen before in an anthology movie. Now, could it have been executed a little better? Probably. But I appreciated the change. I appreciated the ingenuity to change up the usual format. Because
I think I like it. I just think that they might have put on one thing too many. And you needed Michelle to be like, take one thing off, girl. Before you the runway, take one thing off. Right. Yeah.
That's fair. Because I even have a note that I was like, I don't really know what story this fits into, but I'll get to that in a little bit because I kind of ish put it somewhere. But I was like, okay, start doing we'll crisscrosses see if this makes and crossovers.
And I'm just like, I need you to get back in your lane.
Yeah.
Well, and that's true. If you're going to do that, you have to be very clear about, like, this is my path. Like, this is my journey. And I don't know that he fully knew that the whole way through.
It's like they filmed it and then decided to make it all like kind of like tied in together at the end. And they're like, you know what would be a good idea? I know we're like finishing editing or and everything, but what about this? What if we inject this little boy person dressed like a voodoo doll and just let him run with it? Let's just go with it.
Right? Especially because, like, Sam is a bystander for everything until Sam. He's just sort of sitting there watching, like, an audience member. And I'm just like, was he there when you did this? Or did you do inserts later?
And where are Sam's parents?
Because I have thoughts on that, but right. Well, clearly he's like a monster demon thing. Yeah. So, like, I don't... Maybe it's Satan.
You just said next he's got a pumpkin head.
Satan just said, okay, little Sammy, it's time to go trick-or-treating. Go on now. Come back before 2.
We're going to this adult party. So if you could, you know, occupy yourself for like 3 hours, we'll meet you out somewhere. That's what it felt like to me. Right. But they opened the movie like an episode of Law and Order. Like, I expected like cops to come on the scene and be like, who killed this couple? Like, I didn't know where we were going after that. And so I was very confused.
Same. Like, again, I had to watch this 3 times before I think I figured out the order of operations. Yeah. Because it's still confusing. Like, I could be wrong, but I think that this is how this has to have happened for these people to be alive when this happens. But also, I think there might be some fuckery with this timeline, no matter how I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shall we move on to the next section? I'm just going to preface this. I have the least amount of thoughts on this section because it's not one of my, I didn't really enjoy it because I don't give a fuck about kids. But we're moving on to the principal section. So I will let Alrinthia and Sheree take it away.
In my notes, I put like 2 versions of the same question. What in the Charlie and Chocolate Factory is this? And what in the Garbage Pail Kids is this? Like, I was like, so we're just talking about fat kids now? Like, we're just making,
right?
Like, how is a principal going to read a child over, like, you know, you can't have that with your diabetes. Who says that?
I was like, what the hell is that?
Are you his doctor?
Listen, it is especially rude because he's about to murder this little boy. And I'm just like, you can't be a murderer and fatphobic. Chick a little lame. Don't do both.
Right. And I feel like that kid specifically, and I meant to look up his name, has always played like fat kid number one or whatever in any movie that he's in.
No, they love to find their person and be like, you're a fat person. Whenever we have a movie, we'll find you. And I'm like, that's why these kids don't have no self-esteem. Like,
I know. I hope that he, like, whoever that actor is somewhere thriving and is like, comfortable and like living off of his money that he made off of being a fat kid.
Same, because I've never made any money for being fat, but like also nobody was like, come here, we need a fat person for this for my entire childhood. So I don't.
And if you put Dylan Baker in a movie, he has never played someone good. I don't think so. I had to look at his like filmology just to be sure. No. But I feel like if he's not playing like some sort of henchman, he's playing like the intercessory for the henchman. Like, I have never seen this man play anybody that's like a romantic lead or a victim. And I'm like, you just ruined it right there by putting him in there, because now I know what he's going to be doing.
Listen.
I mean, he played J. Edgar Hoover in Selma. So, like,
point proven. Like, again, he's always the fucking problem. Like, when you said that, I was like, when I saw he was in here, I'm like, oh, so you're the kid in the pumpkin? How are you going to be in the pumpkin suit? You're too tall for that. And I was like, oh, there's multiple villains. Okay, this is an anthology. But his story gets really wibbly wobbly when everybody else is. For all I know, he died at the top of his story in the universe. But like, his son was annoying. The son was annoying. The son kept yelling from the windows while he's trying to commit murder. And I'm just like, you can't be a murdering father with a loud son.
No. Just blowing up my spot.
Right? Like, why does he have a babysitter? Or I assume there's no mother in this home because he might have killed her.
Maybe not.
I mean, you got to give up the kid or give up the career. So one or the other. Sure.
You have to pick or choose. You cannot have it all.
This is not Burger King. No, you cannot have it your way.
But I do think that this has the grossest shot of the movie where the kid peeks into the camera. I don't like bodily fluids. I'm flying at my screen. So
it's my second grossest moment in the movie.
I'm excited to hear what you think it is, because that's the one where I was like, no, I've made a mistake. I need to leave.
And for me, another logistical question came to my mind. I was like, okay, so you gave this kid this candy and he's throwing it up. Obviously, he's not been poisoned because he's thrown up the poison. So you didn't think far ahead. Of course he woke up. He threw up the kind of poison that you gave him. He's just bad at murder.
He's just a bad murderer. I mean, we clearly watched his kid be screaming, my dad's got somebody out here, come look. Like, he's just a bad murderer.
My other thing is, because the kid threw up in the front lawn, like, there's DNA everywhere. There's DNA between your kid yelling and this kid leaving traces of crime scenes all over your house. You're not going to come out as Halloween anyways, no matter what happens.
I mean, to be fair, there's DNA all over this entire town. Like, this whole town is covered in DNA.
I was like,
SVU could spend a whole season in this one town.
Law and Order, Trick or Treat. These are the stories that happen on Halloween. And it's just like them, be like another murder and another murder and another murder.
That's too much.
But honestly, how'd y'all feel about the end of this one? Because I kind of wanted him to kill the kid.
Same. I just didn't get, I didn't understand where, okay, so he had the kid in a bag. He was burying the bag. The kid is still alive. He beats the kid to death. When did he take his head? I was like, where did the head come from?
Listen,
how did he get into the basement? How did he get in the basement with his son, who was obviously annoying and clingy, didn't see? Like,
it makes me feel like he took the head in the house, but then I don't know why the body was moving in the backyard.
Yeah.
That's not how that happens for humans.
No. Like, and how did he dig that hole so fast? Was it already there? That was a deep ass hole.
He just have holes in it. Did he just have coffin holes in his backyard that like, no one asked questions? Oh, that's just George or whatever his name is.
It was like perfectly square too.
He's like, I'm gonna make a big one, a medium one, and a small one. Look.
He's planting shrubs, you know? He's planting shrubs.
Yeah.
It's big court TV energy.
Small swimming pools. It's a very small swimming pool.
Yeah. I'm digging in a swimming pool. I'm doing it myself just to save some money.
Right.
Only one person can swim at a time.
Just one.
And just it's never going to be full of water. Don't ask questions. Don't ask questions.
And, like, one of the funniest lines, and I guess it's repeated again later, is when the neighbor's like, I got NRA in my pocket and a gun over my fireplace. I'm like, but you don't have the gun with you, so why would you why would you yell that?
It's not the flesh you think it is if it's in the other room. What? Yeah.
Anyone can have an NRA card in their pocket. Like, what?
Right? Like, it's not dangerous unless you paper cut somebody, which, I mean, that's annoying, but, like...
Oh, God, that was the best line in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And he's peeking through the peephole, like, what's going on over there? Huh? And I'm like, oh, dude. You got your own demons in your own closet, so let's just
really move it on along. You're supposed to be a person that doesn't exist anymore, so...
Like,
in the house.
That whole character, I have so many questions about that fucking character, but also the fact that it's a little bit endearing because we are now on the other side of Succession. Brian Cox would never do these roles again, and he used to do these roles all the time, and now he's like, I'll do a Burger King commercial, but that's it. Like, I'm retiring.
He had to eat. Rent needed to be paid, and he did his best.
He did.
He acted in that role. He was like, oh, you want me to play crazy old man? Done. I'm in.
Right.
Let's do it.
Right? He had a glow up. And so we'll never see him do these weird older men in horror again, probably, unless the money runs out. Which, I mean, the way HBO is throwing shit around, it might. What? It might. Succession's there tonight, but it might not be tomorrow. What?
Yeah. This is like, he's like, for Jennifer Aniston, like, this is his leprechaun. The people are just going to bring it up, but he never has to do it again.
Right? He's gonna turn into Mariah Carey. I don't know her. Yes. It's like, no. This is you. This is you, Brian. He's like,
no. I know what you're talking about.
We had it. So at my work, I had a client that literally stole a staff member's soda and like drank half of it and put it back. And when they went up to him and was like, hey, did you do this? He said, that doesn't sound like me. And people watched him do it. And then after he finally accepted that it was him, like he was finally like, okay, I've lost that battle. He said, well, now that we know it was me, can I drink the rest of it?
These are all valid questions. Like, I mean, I guess if I'm in trouble already, right, you might as well let me have the rest of the drink.
It's not going to change anything if you pour it out. Like, let's not be wasteful.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Brian Cox, shall we move on to Halloween School Bus Massacre, the next one?
Yeah, let's get this one over with.
So, I actually, this one is probably my favorite of the storylines, just because I like the theme of it, the kind of like revenge ghosts. I think that's really fun. So I just have one really big thought. It's good for Rhonda. Team Rhonda.
Yeah.
Them kids deserved it.
Yes. I'm happy she did what she did. They got what they got, and that's all that they get. And I think we can all take a lesson from Rhonda's page.
Yeah. I was excited to see, I don't know if you, either of you have seen Dead Like Me, the series of on Showtime, which is probably one of the greatest series of all time that they shouldn't have canceled. It's in like Pushing Daisies level for me. Yeah. And so the woman who was hosting like the adult party and the lead little girl are both on Dead Like Me. And I was like, yes, okay, reunion, let's do it.
I couldn't place their faces. I could not place their faces. Thank you. Because I was like, I know I've seen them. I couldn't figure it out. What?
The woman in the party, I feel like has been in a ton of stuff. Like, as supporting or, like, featured actors. Like, it's just usually, like, the funny, weird, like, what is she doing?
Who she was in this, with the cattail. I was like, madam, you could go to prison for waving that tail in that kid's face. Just so you know. I know your party in there is getting wild. But, like, leave the kids outside. Like...
Right. Like, that's the one you just don't, like, if you're going to have a party like that, which is totally within your right, like, sex positive here, but don't also be doing the trick-or-treating.
Right. Like, pick or choose. Make a choice.
Pick or choose.
Again, you can't have it all. You have to be like, this is our, like, freaky, kinky Halloween, or this is the one for the kids. You can't be like, we'll just, like, pause it every once in a while. Because, like, she's offering the kids alcohol. They are watching things go down with Mr. Hot Dog that they are not old enough to be watching. I don't think I'm old enough to be watching. Because Mr. Hot Dog was catching it. And that's why he ended up with somebody else's story rolling out of nowhere dead. And I just... he lived a good Halloween that night.
I love Mr. Hot Dog. I was just like, okay. I'm glad they brought him back. I'm glad that they made him like a callback, you know.
If you're going to wear a hot dog costume, you better be seen more than once. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It, functionally, it's awful, I'm imagining, because you can't sit down. If you fall, you need like 9 people to help you get back up. Like, you better be seen again.
Right.
And it's probably less functional than the robot costume, if that's the part they came from. Right? Like,
especially like, for sex. Like, what are you going to do?
Do we think the hot dog and the robot is where it all went down?
Yeah.
We think that's too much.
Yeah.
Oh, Sheree, that woman's also in Supernatural. I'm telling you, she's everywhere.
She's like a girl. She's like a Lady Dylan Baker. She's just in
everything. Yeah.
All things.
Yeah. This one gave me big Are You Afraid of the Dark vibes, which is why I leaned forward. I think that it was also like the longest one, because like everything else, I don't think was this long, because we also get the backstory where they explain the bus situation while they're pulling the prank, and then when they get their like revenge. And I don't know how we never hear from the bus driver again. We live down the street. That's the thing that takes me out of this one. Either we never heard from him again or he's next door. Which is it?
Like, did they just come out of the quarry and just go home? Like, how did they...
Well, my thought is, and they didn't say this in the script, so they could have clarified. Absolutely. My thought is the parents already paid him off, so the parents just kind of like, we're just not going to talk about that. That's a different man. His name's Timothy or whatever, you know. So I think that's where I went, because the parents were covering it up because they paid him to kill their kid, essentially, which is awful. That's an awful fucking story.
My thing is, it seems like a small town, and in a small town, you're in everybody's business. Like, remember Warrensburg? I couldn't buy tampons without talking to a teacher. And so I'm just like, how do you like drop a bus into a lake and get a bunch of kids and then go home? And it's like, we never heard from him again. What?
Yeah. And the kids, they seemed fine. They were sitting nicely, even though they were chained. How did he chain each of the kids in? And they're like, must be normal. Okay, guess we're going on a bus trip.
Right.
I think that the kids were just sitting lovely. And the one that was talking to himself, I'm like, is he neurospicy? Because I feel like this is going in a direction that I don't think they meant to go.
They all were. No, they all were had disabilities. Like, that was the whole reason they were going to this special school. So he was, I like that, neurospicy. He was definitely some kind of on the spectrum or something somewhere, neurospicy. But that's why the parents were tired, quote unquote, tired of them, and paid this bus driver to take them on a different route. And that's why as soon as he turned, he's like, this is not right. this is not right. This is not right. Oh, and I was like, and then he ended up driving it off the cliff himself.
I mean, the early aughts, even like the 90s and 80s, were just a wild time for people just not giving shit about their kids.
Truly.
Today still. Like, according to IMDb, they cast kids appropriately for that, which I thought was kind of cool because usually Sia is like, we can't have anybody autistic on set for this autistic movie. And they were like, what if we actually cast kids who do have these like tics and things? And the kids had apparently a great day because nobody ever gets them to do anything. So they're like, yay, we get to be in this great movie.
We're going to be in a mouse.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Again, that's from IMDb, so I don't know if it's a fact or somebody made it up because IMDb is the Wild West. But I'm going to choose to believe in that and choose to believe that good thing happened from this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, I liked what they were, I feel like what they were trying to do with this story. I think this was, like, was the most organized of the stories. And you can kind of see where it was going. It was just like, but none of these kids have done anything and no one has planned ahead for this, again, for this murder. Like, everyone is just bad at murders in this town.
Truly. Truly. Yeah, I wish they would have, like, I honestly think this is kind of like the downside of it being an anthology is you only have a certain amount of time to tell things. I would have loved to have seen why these parents were, quote unquote, I mean, I get the idea that they were not, shouldn't have been, but like, what were the kids doing to make the parents tired of them? I would have liked to have seen or heard a little bit more of that, but I also get this is an anthology. And like you said, this is the longest one already. So I don't know. I agree though. I liked the way they were going with this one. I don't know that they gave me everything I wanted.
Right. I don't think we need the parents, because I think if we had the parents, it would get real shaky, especially because this is an early aughts movie that could have been all kinds of offensive. Well, I think we want more from this one because it's the most solid. Like, it feels like it's the one that's the most fleshed out, and it's also the longest one, so we feel like we're getting a movie within a movie. Right. Yeah.
And well,
like, we get a full story, and we, you know, from who's the girl's name, Macy, like, she's like, okay, this is the story, this is what we're doing. Commence trick on Rhonda.
Yeah.
Very clear.
And I will say, while we're here, we have to call out that they did, this is the early aughts, they did have the R slur, you know, jump scare there.
Which is, it's really wild because it's in the story where we're talking about how people were treated. And we're like, oh, but also, again, we can't have it all. Pick a lane, everybody. Pick a lane. Just like,
yeah.
But I think that also made those the kids even more, I liked them even less when he said that. Because that's that he was the kid that, it was the boy that at the end was like trying to comfort her and then like told her it was a joke and all this stuff. But he was the one that called her the R word in the first place. And so I was like, no. You don't get to like erase all that and then play this prank on her and pretend like to be a good guy. So, and then she ultimately got her revenge on everyone that were being shitty to people with disabilities.
I didn't need it from him because it was already giving baby Carrie or Carrie Jr. And so I was already on board to kill them kids. I was like, when can we do it? How can we do it?
It didn't need to be there for sure.
I kept thinking like the girl with the braces and the pigtails. I kept thinking she looked like the little girl from Monsters.
She did. It was the hat.
And I'm like, oh no, like, okay. But I thought it was a good revenge of the nerds,
yes,
scenario.
Yes.
And honestly, like, if they had given this its own movie, I would have thought it would have made sense for like the ghost kids to go get their parents.
Listen,
to be like, you thought we were dead, but guess what?
Here we are.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween.
I hope that's the sequel, because if we're going to give this a sequel, let them ghost kids get some revenge.
Yeah. I mean, that's what early American Horror Story would have done, I feel.
Right.
They would have made like the kids go after them.
And parents. We kind of get that at the very end when they show up at What's-His-Fuck's door, and then that's the end of the movie. We kind of get that they are enacting revenge on everyone that screwed them over. So, like, maybe after they killed him, maybe they went on to to mommy and daddy's house.
They went to the party. It's going to be an awkward PTA meeting next week because all the parenting are getting wild. And I just, I hope these ghost kids are ready. That's what they're about to see.
Truly. All right. Shall we move on to surprise party? Our lovely werewolf ladies.
Okay. This one, the lines when they're in the dressing room do have double meanings, and that's kind of cute because they're all like, it all tastes the same to me. I had some bad Mexican. They mean people. Oh, and so coming back around after you see, you're like, oh, you were being clever up there. Okay. But I didn't know this because we took the scenic route.
So I saw I could put, well, like seeing it in the beginning when she's like, I had a girl this time or something like that. And then she says it all tastes the same to me. I was like, okay. Okay, bisexuality. I get it. Like, it's
right?
She was like, I was like, huh. All right. We're just talking about giving heads to whoever. That's great.
Yeah. You know? No. And it becomes a lot less positive and a lot more gruesome.
Yeah, I was like, maybe not, the, you know, talk about it in like the Halloween Express or wherever they were. But I was like, okay, sex positive. Great. Love it.
Yes.
They were like, we're going to use our Kohl's cash, but also talk about eating people because we're multitaskers.
Yeah. So, well, and while we're on them in the dressing rooms, I am so tired. I get into the early odds, but it still happens. This sexualization of children, and they're like spying on the girls in the dressing rooms, and the mom's like, instead of telling the boy to fucking stop staring at girls in a dressing room where they're doing nothing but dressing,
yeah,
she gets onto the girls. And I'm like, okay, this is some patriarchal bullshit. Like, let's look at the little boy who is invading their privacy. Their doors are shut. Like, doors are shut.
Exactly. They're minding their business.
Listen. That's one of my notes, because we never get that, hey, it's not cool to do that. Because it's a good time to talk about consent when you see a child doing something like that, but we never do. I am also going to tie this, because the way this was filmed and the way that it was filmed in the woods when they are like having their ritual. This is when I was like, this is definitely being told by like straight dudes, because it's all tits. It's all ass.
Oh, and yeah.
It ruins what could be a really cool girl gang of werewolves, because I'm just like, whose boobs are this? I don't even understand, like, where'd they come from? We were doing werewolf girl shit, and now nipples. And I'm just like, okay, but like, can we get back to the story at hand?
And you know, yeah. It does track, though, going back to Alrinthia's bisexual comment. It is funny that they cast Anna Paquin in this role as well, and you're having this kind of bisexual conversation, because how many interviews has Anna Paquin been like, no, I'm bi? They're like, but you're married to a man. And she's like, yeah, but I'm bi. Like, that doesn't fucking matter.
And, you know, speaking of her, like, I'm starting to think, like, the only American accent she knows how to do is Southern.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
it's okay.
No one else is talking the way you are. Like, you're the only one that's talking like this.
Yeah.
Who's giving Big True Blood? And for a second, I was like, will Eric be here too? And they're like, no, they can't afford Eric. Like, that scar's got to cost too much.
And I think this was before True Blood, isn't it? This is, like, right before True Blood.
Oh, maybe.
This was 07. And was True Blood 08?
I thought it was, like, 08, 09.
I think she rolled in with the same accent for both. And they were like, do it.
She auditioned at the Oscar same winner. Time. And they were like, put her in both.
Listen, they're like, we're not going to argue.
Oh, it's right after 2008 to 2014.
Okay. I'm mad I knew that started in 2008. I'm so mad I knew that. It's like, no, True Blood was the next year. Why do I can't retain anything beneficial or useful, but I know True Blood started in 2008. For who, LaBob? Like, I'm going to text him when we're done with this. Like, how dare you?
Listen, I love me some True Blood, okay? It is the campy shit I love. Give me some naked Skarsgårds any day and every day.
Oh, yes.
What a family tree. I just...
And I'd climb it like anything.
Listen, there's beautiful.
And like, I guess like another logistical thing is the beginning of that story where, or maybe, I don't know, where they have like the girl going through the crowd and this person that appears to be a vampire.
This is where I didn't know where to put it. So I was like, what story is this? Because, yeah, he bites her, and she's just like, oh, still in the mood. I'm like, he just punctured you. You don't feel that?
He's bleeding heavily.
She's like, oh, what's this?
This is one of the times where I was just like, we could have left him in his own lane, because
was he a vampire? Did the werewolves eat a vampire? I'm confused.
It was old dude from Charlie's dad.
Yeah.
Right?
It was Dylan.
Again, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He put on a cape and a mask, got some teeth, and was like, I'm going out to bite some girls. And I'm just like, haven't you got enough people?
And like,
shouldn't you go to the party with everybody else?
Like, and he didn't just like bite her. He punctured her skin.
Yeah.
It was not sanitary.
He Mike Tyson her.
Stop it. Stop it.
And that's where like the weird time like movement is him, because it's like, how did he get all that done at his house and then go out and basically murder a girl with his own teeth? Mm-hmm. And the kid is at home just handing out candy.
Dressed as his dad in the bloody shirt.
Yeah.
This is one of the times where at the timeline, I feel like we need to like really look at it, because I'm like, okay, if we're moving backwards.
Yeah.
It's still clunky. It's still clunky.
Most definitely.
But this whole story had so much potential. It could have been like a Lost Boys situation,
right?
But with werewolves, and it was just like, oh, okay, like they tricked dudes to, you know, to eat them. Okay, great. But it just didn't make sense. And I was like, so when they take off the skin, do they put it back on? Like,
okay.
Because they're just ripping it off.
Sheree asked this later or earlier. This is my grossest part. When their skin starts like, I can't. And then it's got like the 1980s witches thing. It's like the hair is like underneath, like an Angelica Houston moment. I can't. I love you, Anna Paquin, but I had to look away. I would say I wish they would have gone further with that bisexual commentary and had them trick a woman too. Like, that would have been fun.
Yeah. I think that this is one of those where I wish that we could have like had different directors as well, like some anthologies. Cause like getting somebody specifically not straight dude would have like helped us do some things. Cause I think that this sisterhood we're seeing is more than a sisterhood. I think that they are togethering. And I think that they are alluring the men, because the men are just like, oh, we love young women. And they're like, we're going to eat these fools. We're going to go back to doing what we're doing, which is sexy time. But I'm making those connections in my own brain, because this was done by dudes. And so they're all like, we need more boobs in the shot. I'm like, you had 5 girls. Why am I looking at 80 pairs of titties? Like, I don't make the math make sense. Because it would have been one thing had we actually seen faces or something, but it just felt very much like those like old movies and old like posters where it's like body parts of women. And somebody collected all of those at one point. They're like, here's all the random body parts of women from this era. I'm just like, we saw a lot of ankles, a lot of necks. for why?
Yeah. And it's like, why do they have to be naked? They could just turn into wolves. Like, I don't...
Karen Kusama would have never.
Their faces back on. They're just ripping it off.
Right.
Karen Kusama would have never.
No.
But Lisa Lopez would have never.
Right. But I will say, I did like. I'm with you both. I was here for the idea of what this was. This group of female werewolves tricking men. I wish there was some bisexual or like queerness in there, but like tricking men and eating them. That's what I'm here for. But like, yeah, execution didn't get there.
Yeah.
Especially when you add on the Marilyn Manson underscoring. Him screaming over what's happening is not the moment. It's not the mood. It ruined everything that we were working with.
Yeah. In 2024, that is a jump scare. Like, that is a... I get this is 2007.
It was a jump scare back then.
Well, he's always been a terrible human being, but it wasn't as... out in the open. We didn't all know, at least I didn't follow him, so I didn't really know. But like,
there were less court cases, but still. Like, wow. we It had an open secret, but also he was just never really that good. Like, no. If you are a kid who was like, I want to shock my parents, then you might have put on some Marilyn Manson and they'd be like, yeah. But the rest of us were like, I don't know what he does over there with Rose McGowan. I don't want to know. My thoughts were with her.
It was just a weird needle drop. It just didn't make any sense. You hadn't used any sort of similar music in any of the other stories. And it was like, it went from like PG to PG-13 to the straight, like they wanted it to be X, but it was like, oh no, we can only get up to R. And I feel like they've used that song, his cover of Sweet Dreams, for multiple horror movies and scary moments. And it's kind of like, was that the cheapest option?
I think so. Because even Lovecraft Country used a lot of like Black femme rappers and artists. So you'd be like, Cardi B, Megan, yeah. And then all of a sudden Marilyn Manson would be there. I'm like, huh? You going to ruin the party for him? For why? What's he doing for you?
Like, I could, I feel like I would have gotten it. Like, it's objectively, you know, him being terrible aside, it's not a bad song. It just has to make sense for the moment. And it's like, there's so many wolf songs out there.
Bad Moon Rising, that's the first one that came to mind. Like
Hungry Like a Wolf,
right? She-Wolf by Shakira, was that out yet? I don't
She-Wolf.
Know
it just didn't make any sense.
I feel like whoever had the purse for the music was being overly literal and doing Sweet Dreams, because again, this is a definite, we're doing this for the male gaze moment. And they're like, LOL, isn't this quaint? And it's like, there's other songs that are sexier. Like, go sit in a strip club for 30 minutes. You can come out with a whole list of songs. You don't have to go to Marilyn Manson.
Right.
The whole story was like a Maxim magazine story.
Yes.
Including the photography. It was just like, okay, like all of these girls have probably been on either the cover, because I know Anna Paquin has to have been on
Maximum. By then, Maximum. Or if not, a couple years later when True Blood blew up.
Right.
And like,
or at least a Leslie Bibb, you know what I mean? So it was just huh.
Probably doing a Skull era for her. But yeah, I'm sad I know her filmography. I know the most random shit, but like, I feel like this section was failed just because there were no women in the writing and the directing, because we meet these girls' boobs first in the dressing room, because we're getting through the peeping cracks in the door from the little kid. And so I'm just like, whose tits am I looking at? And then we're like, these are our tits, but also this is kind of our story. And now I'm back to the tit dancing at the fire. And I'm just like, we can give them more to do. Like, again, I think it would have been more impactful to have a woman on this one, the whole movie, but specifically on this one, this would have helped a lot of things out.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about our boy Sam?
This is kind of my favorite of the, because it's just, it earns the creep show nods. It does. Like, the other ones are cute or fine, but this one is like, I feel like Stephen King would have been like, yeah, I did that.
This does feel very King-esque.
Yeah. It's almost a silent movie. Like, aside from a couple of pleas for help, he doesn't have any dialogue. It's him fighting this little boy who was played by an 8-year-old stunt kid and a grown woman, which is why the size keeps changing. Because I was like, this is different people. I need answers. And IMDb is like, here you go.
And I couldn't figure out, was Sam one of the kids on the bus? Or was he just like, because he shows up at the quarry, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. And he goes down there when Rhonda's leaving.
Right.
So is he like, hey guys, I got this dude. He's all by himself. He has a shotgun. Do you guys want to go roll up on him?
I don't think he was, because I think he was some kind of like not real person. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think he was ever a human. I think he was like a demon or a revenge demon or something that's not of this world. And those kids were definitely at one point living human beings. But I do think he was born out of the negativity, the evil, the shit that this town is clearly doing to itself. And so he was just kind of born out of that. Or maybe Satan is his father. I don't know.
All of the above. Because if there's one thing Satan gonna do, is live in a small town.
Yeah.
True. So,
listen, he's running for office.
Buffy taught us that.
Listen.
The lessons of Buffy.
Right. But this one also gave me so much nostalgia, because part of me truly, truly misses channel surfing. It, like, Or going like the TV Guide channel and like waiting for it to scroll through everything to be like, oh, Halloween 2 is on.
Go to Pluto TV, girl. Go to Pluto TV because it's like having cable, but it's free.
There you go.
And I remember that exact infomercial. I remember them injecting the meat with like weird herbs and putting it in, setting it and forgetting it. Like, I was like, what happened to that guy? Like, where did he go?
I do miss infomercials.
No, I guess you don't. I guess, do they still have them?
On cable, I guess. If they still
have like SNL TV stuff, then maybe.
Yeah. I think somebody could like clean up just with a channel of infomercials if Pluto TV doesn't already have one. Because I know I just love watching people be like, I don't know how to do anything with my hands. And now I have to get this special blender. And I'm like, oh, what?
Go on.
Or have y'all seen, it went viral years and years and years ago. But it was that like clips of like white people being stupid on infomercials. Picks up a picture and it falls through, or like, I don't know what to do.
Yes. I can't chop this onion. I'm just chopping all over the place. Like,
don't you hate when you pop popcorn and it hits you in your eyes? Well, now we got popcorn goggles.
And you know that the best part is someone got paid to get hit in the face with popcorn. Like, make your money, honey. Make your money. But like,
yeah. Listen, I've done worse for less, I'm sure.
But I also think that Sam is a little shit stirrer, because I think Sam knew. He was like, okay, I'm not going to kill you because these other kids they on their way. I was just at the quarry. They walk in a little slower than I am. So they're on their way. So I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to let them kill you. And I'm going to go over here and kill this couple while she stupidly puts up Halloween decorations the night of Halloween.
He tells the kids like, hey, I found a dude. He's in this house. You guys do what you got to do. I'm going to go next door, take care of this couple. And then we'll meet up.
We'll go get some ice cream.
Right. Because I still don't know why he wanted to fight this old man. Like, I get it. He's not a good man. He ended up a bunch of kids.
Right.
But he was like, I'm going to fight him. I'm going to throw hands because I can't let this rest. But also, I'm going to leave now because I got my candy bar. Is it a Snickers commercial? Is that what it is? Like, a really long Snickers commercial.
It's Snickers with blades in it. And I was like, haven't we as a people move past this, that getting blades and apples and stuff like that? Like, what? I feel like they could have like cut Sam, made the old dude the connector, because he was in like what, two or three of the stories, yeah, maybe? Mm-hmm. And then just have the kids come and get him, and that's it. You know, like, he's been hiding this whole time. So it didn't make sense that this random little boy is just casually observing the town, but only kills like two people. Like, why those two people, and why now? Yeah. You know,
because everybody else was doing shit and these two people were just boring, and maybe he was like, you're not a good look. I don't know, but it didn't make sense for them to like get Sam to be like, no, I gotta kill them, let everybody else do what they're gonna do, but they gotta go.
They got killed because they labeled their porn something different. That's why he said, fuck you, watch your porn, put this is porn, period, on your burned disc of porn.
Listen. Yeah,
like, I don't know. Label it what it is, big titty hotties, I don't know, like, whatever your porn is, at least put porn.
That was gonna be the name of this movie, so they couldn't use that.
And you know what, if it was 2008 or 7, why were they using a VHS tape anyway? Like,
but wait, no, wasn't
the,
it
the internet was real.
No, wait, what? I think he did use a DVD, but she calls it a tape.
She did,
she called it a tape, but I remember it because it was like our old school when you burned your bestie a CD and you wrote like, I love you on the, you know, you decorated it with hearts and smiley faces. This one said nature documentary, and he put it in. It was this chick riding this dude. I said, well, I guess it's nature. Like,
National Geographic, yes.
Not much more natural. I don't, you know, how much more natural you can get, I don't know.
Listen, They were a boring couple. I think that's why Sam killed them. that's my story.
Just to get it done. Yeah. You know?
They don't add anything. Leslie Bibb was going to cost too much if she had another scene. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to do us all a favor.
Yeah. No, it did. Yeah.
You can't have her in a pack when. What is this budget?
What's so weird is that Sam is like the icon of this movie. Like, there's literally still in Spirit Halloween adult-sized Sam costumes. Like, people love him. And I just don't, like, I don't hate him. But, like, there's better villains.
Better villains. I mean, Annan Paquin was a whole Oscar winner at this point. I could have given her more.
Like, he's a cool visual, but they didn't, like, a lot of things, they just didn't give him enough connective tissue because they were like, we're doing cool things with the anthology format, but they didn't really solidify some stuff, which is why it was a bit of a mess. It's again, it's not the worst anthology I've seen, but it's not like one of my favorites. I'm not going to be out here being like, when we do anthologies, trick or treat.
This is an anthology I would show someone if they're like, I want to watch horror, but I'm scared. I'm just a little scared. And I'd be like, okay, we'll put a trick or treat on. It's not like, it's got some gore. It's got some spooky stuff. I almost said scared. There's no scary moments. It's got some spooky vibes. It is more of like an adult, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It felt like to me, like, it's a movie they show at church to warn you about.
When they have lock-ins.
Yeah.
Trying to convince the kids not to fuck during the lock-ins that they always
fuck. This is what happens if you have sex.
Kids always fuck in those lock-ins, y'all. I hate to tell you, any parents out there, they were like, I sent my kids to lock-ins. They didn't do it. They fucked. If they didn't fuck, they touched each other.
You were locking horny kids up in a room and making them think about sex. What do you think will happen?
Yeah.
Like, you've given them a weekend pass to do just that. Like, right. I don't understand.
And even if it was all boys or all girls, that didn't help your case.
No. Yeah. Someone was hitting it in.
Listen.
Something was happening.
First time or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it felt like it was like something that like your parents would show you to be like, see, the Halloween is a devil's holiday.
Sam's going to come get you. Yeah. Bitch, I could throw Sam across the room. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
All right. Are you ready for hot takes?
Let's get spicy. Right. Yeah.
Aurinthia, do you want to go first or do you want us to do our hot takes and you go? How do you want to do this? It's up to you.
Well, I mean, I think I already said like one, the part of one that I meant, I said it early, but yeah, I just feel like this movie was just like a Bible camp level movie. Mm-hmm. And that this movie didn't know if it was for adults or kids. It needed to know what it was because it was like on the level of Are You Afraid of the Dark? But they were really trying to get into like adult areas of being and using like things like sex and having adults go to a sex party and all of that. But it's like, even as an 80s kid, like you wouldn't know what the connection was. And 80s movies were full of boobs. So I don't think the movie knew where it was going, you know?
And
if it was just adults, if they just use like the story of the kids on the bus, it just would have been it.
Yeah.
And then, so I guess, you know, maybe that's why they were like, we don't want to make it again. We don't want Stephen King coming after us for like ripping off it, you know? But it also, this whole thing kind of made me kind of like reminiscent of my childhood where you could just go trick-or-treating with absolutely no adult supervision. And they did it in this movie. They did it in Hocus Pocus. You know, where no one was watching the kids. The kids were just like roaming cemeteries and roaming a whole quarry and having the key to the elevator of the quarry. No questions asked.
Listen.
No questions. I will say, I do think, I do think, speaking on like the difference, like it didn't know if it needed to be a kids movie or an adult movie. I think Michael Dougherty, the creator of Trick or Treat, I think he found his footing with Krampus. I think Krampus is where he was like, okay, now I'm feeling where I'm supposed to be. And I honestly think it's because he had two other writers in the room. It wasn't just him.
Hmm.
Those same writers did this too. like you and my hot take. That trio was working on Trick or Treat 2. And I would like them to do Krampus 2 instead, which is my hot take.
I didn't even read it. I'm so sorry.
I was like, damn, Trent, just let me go ahead and get another drink, I guess. I don't work here.
They're not listed on IMDb as writing on this one, so I didn't know they were writing on this on the first Trick or Treat.
Maybe they removed their names. Maybe they're like, that's all you, man.
IMDb, it'd be tricky. Okay.
That's fair. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I should have read this before I started talking.
I just read a news piece. Because I was going to say, which y'all might have just recently heard somewhere, that this people overhype this movie. I think it's fine. I don't think it's the greatest thing that has ever happened in anthologies, like a lot of my friends said. And I think that Michael Dougherty's Krampus is a better movie. And I wish they had gotten a sequel greenlit instead of this. I'm still hoping it does. Because if they can give us Trick or Treat 2, why not Krampus 2? Why the gang gets back together? Do that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think the other reason why I accidentally stepped on her hot take is because we hardly ever agree. So I didn't know you would think the same way that I did. So,
because I was watching you do it, and I was like,
I did not read any hot takes before I started talking. So. My bad.
I was like, this was personal. Like, I don't know what to do about it.
So my hot take is, while I agree with everything both of you said, I do think that the format of I agree with it so much that I repeated it without knowing that I was going to talk about it. So I wish that more anthology films would use this format of like utilizing all stories intertwining together, kind of like a mixed match. I like that part of this movie. I just think if you're going to go that route, which I support, I'm here for it. You need more eyes on your script. You need more eyes with you while you're creating this movie, because there's a lot of pitfalls and you really have to know the path that you're taking. You got to have your timeline down, what really happened, and then how am I telling it in this story form? You've got to have all that down. And if you do that, I'm 100% here for it. And I wish this movie had done
it. I also think you don't have to flip and reverse it your first time out. I think you just intertwine them and see what happens. And then when you get that formula, you could be like, now let's double dutch. You can't just go straight to double dutch. You have to jump rope first.
That's right. A good point. Yeah. Good point. All right. Shall we give our ratings? What are we rating this one? Aurithia, what's your rating for Trick or Treat?
So I try to put myself in the mindset of 2007, 2008. And I think if I had seen it then, I would have given it a 3 because I would have been just as confused about certain elements as I would be now. And I'm like, I see that you tried really, really hard. And you had all the ingredients to make a great movie and a great like anthology. But you just didn't know where to put all the pieces. So you hit middle of the road for me.
Listen, same. I gave it 3 little pumpkin spice with a little kick to them because it's not awful. It's not great. It's a little bit confusing. We have some flickers that are fascinating. And I can sleep at night with a good 3. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I actually agree. So my funny story, when I first watched this, when it came out, I did not like this movie because I don't think I was ready for what this was. And I don't think anyone told me that it was an anthology. So I was just like, what the fuck? What's happening? What's going on? I'm so confused. Where are my characters? I'm not following someone throughout this whole thing. So I did not like this movie as a teenager. But revisiting it, I can appreciate it for a lot of the things it was trying to do, even though I do think that there were some execution issues. So I'm giving this one 3.5.
Nice.
So growth from me. Because as a kid, I probably would have given it like 1.5, 2 maybe.
I was surprised you didn't because like there are things I look for in a Trent Reese movie and this didn't have them. So like, oh, he's going to give it a 1.
It was definitely worth the $2.36 that Amazon was charging to rent it.
Yes.
Like I wouldn't have paid any more than $3. I think that was good pricing on their part.
Same. Because again, I saw this in November, and because I watched it last night because I'm late to the party on my own show, I was like, it's not streaming for free anymore. What have we done? And then I was like, oh, it's under $3. You got lucky. Because y'all gonna get a message being like, can we change it? Is it too late?
If they're charging $5.99 for Oppenheimer, you can't go anywhere near $4 for this movie.
No.
Not at all.
No. Like, Night Swim is $20 right now. And I'm like, for who? It's got bad reviews and was in theaters last week. You can't be $20. Are you get real, Blumhouse?
Blumhouse, yeah. All right, y'all. Well, that is our thoughts on Trick or Treat. Thank you so much, Alrinthia, for joining us. We've loved having you. We'll have to have you back sometime.
Yay! It was great.
Next week, we're going to be covering What Lies Beneath.
Oh, that's a classic.
Listen, Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, Michelle Pfeiffer so fierce, she put a P in front of her last name. They don't need to be there. I love her. And that movie is chaotic as fuck.
Truly.
And what better way to end 2000 than with that movie? If you've not seen that movie, it is a film. It is a film and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I feel sophisticated.
It is art. It is art.
Listen. I aspire.
We got the Fife. We got... What more do you need? We got Michelle... Like, literally, I love Harrison Ford, but, like, I just needed Michelle Pfeiffer.
I aspire to write something so chaotic and so wild and so out of left field and have two older actors who are just like, I just want to have fun this weekend. What a friend. Let's do this. That had to be the conversation. It had to be like, who's directing? Yeah, he's fun. Oh, yeah, Harrison Ford's fun. I'll do it. This was not in either of their lanes. Like, none of them were like, I'm doing thrillers now like this. He was in political thrillers. That's a different vibe.
Different vibes.
And the bad phone signal is a character in the movie, and I loved it.
right? Because you have to get rid of the phone somehow, and what better way than being like, we're out here in the suburbs and away from people, and we are away from people, and so now I can't call for help.
Right.
Done.
There you go.
All right. Again, thank you everyone for listening. Thank you to Alrinthia for joining us, and as always, make sure that you stay fierce out there.